I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. It's Sports Overnight America, a different kind of show. You'll discover that. We'll talk anything in the wonderful, wacky world of sports, and we're heard everywhere. Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps. I love TuneIn. American Forces, gals and guys, you stay healthy. Sports Byline, Sports Map. Radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas. The guys will be with us tonight. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper. Art Source from Galaxy Sports. Chris Saliza, power players, sports, politics, and the American presidency, folks. And most interesting book. If you're into sports, you ought to get it. If you're into politics, you should get it. And if you're into sports and politics, you definitely should get this book, Power Players. Chris Saliza will be with us. We'll play some Barron Sports trivia. All right. Aaron Ego, a Jet. God, I hope Jordan Love has a great year in Green Bay, is all I can tell you. Aaron can't be happy, though. He can't get his number 12. Who had number 12 in Jets? Let me think. Joe. Aaron's going to have to play on number 8. I'm sure he is not happy with that. I'm sure underneath everything, he's talking to somebody. Can't you ask him if I can wear number 12? Email sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Bryce Young, numero uno, number one. No shock whatsoever. The only negative on Bryce is I saw is he's smaller than most quarterbacks, but he certainly can find the open guy. So we'll find out how Bryce Young does. In the NBA, maybe a change in coaching in Milwaukee. I'm sort of hoping. I think he deserves it. I think Mick Cronin deserves that job more than anything. So, Mick, if it's an opening, I think you ought to go back to the Midwest and take the Bucks job. Your comments. Email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. And finally, Andrew Friedman, general manager, Dodgers, indicates he wish he had it. More base dealers. Well, let's see. You had the offseason. You got rid of Bellinger. I'm giving you Turner. You wanted to leave. So you signed David Hayward. Now, he's going to steal a lot of bases for you. No question about that. This week against the Pirates, he was batting in the third slot. I think he was hitting 159 at one point, 179 at another point. But I want to come back with the guys and then Chris Saliza all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going
to
take.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaw's have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $134 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Scott for Scots here. You ever want to grow new grass faster? Kind of like when you press the 2x playback button on your podcast so you can speed through episodes. Except at Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass, you're speeding your way from a thin and damaged lawn to a thicker, stronger one in just weeks. Bit too fast, maybe slow it
down, okay. Let's just go back to normal speed.
Get a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass today. It grows grass 2x faster than seed alone when applied at the new lawn rate, subject to proper care.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 415. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Joined by the guys, Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper, Art Source, former kicker for the Rams and the Trojans. He runs Galaxy Sports out of the state of Pennsylvania. Later, Chris Caliza will discuss his book, Power Players, folks. It's a book that if you're into politics, you should read. If you're into sports, you should read. Just pick it up. You really will enjoy it. But first of all, enjoy it, not enjoy it. Let me just tell you. Yes, Aaron Ego is now a member of the New York Jets. But I believe he's upset about something. What could that be? All right, he can't wear number 12 because his name is wanted.
Joe told him it was okay if he wanted to, and he said he's going to defer because of the greatness of Joe Namath. He's going to wear number 8. So they kind of – Joe was really cool about it. I thought, you know, if he wanted Aaron to wear it, I thought Aaron would say, hey, yeah, that's awesome. I'll do it because of you. But he's a pretty complex guy, Fred.
No, he's going to be screaming about something, although he's going to make $100 million in the next 2 years. So I guess he'll survive one way or the other. But as far as the Jets are concerned, of course, last time they went, it was Namath and in Super Bowl IV with the upset. And who knows what's going to happen this year. My guess is, and Mark, you agree or disagree, I don't know. But my guess is, you know, he's 39 years of age. There's going to be some injuries here. Let's see what happens. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, I like it. I mean, he's got everything lined up. I mean, you need a lot of money to live in New York, first of all.
$50 million? You think $50 million will handle it?
Well, I don't know. That place can cost you $40 for scrambled eggs and country potatoes. It's been a while since I've been in New York. But
never mind a hotel room.
Yeah. I will definitely tell you that, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett there, he's got wide receiver from Green Bay there. He's got a great coach in Saleh there. Offensive line's looking good. The defensive line. I'm in on the Jets. I mean, I'm not a New York guy, but I like the pickup. And, you know, when I look at it, you know, a lot of people said, well, Brett Favre went there. Brett Favre really, you know, I don't know if he can control that kind of talent. He was a Mississippi guy.
There's a list of 10 quarterbacks who have failed in New York. And, you know,
here's another problem. Fred brought this up. There have been a lot of injuries on that turf at that stadium, the Meadowlands. Now, a 39-year-old guy that's going to be 40, I believe, during the season. You know, your calves are really important. And I think Fred's got something here because you know, he played on natural grass in Green Bay, or ice, or tundra, whatever you want to call it in those days. But the bottom line is that's not an, I've actually walked on that field, just walked on that field, and my legs were sore just from walking for 30 minutes. It's that hard. You've seen a lot of guys really, you know, lose their careers on that field. And, you know, the 49ers lost like four guys 3 years ago. They played back-to-back games against the Jets and the Giants on that field. And then they said, they told the NFL office, never again do we want to go through that, okay? So that's another factor in this. Now, when you come out of the dark and into New York City, that's a big transition. I did listen to his press conference the other day, and he seemed like he was going out of his way to be a real gentleman to the writers, you know, the New York Post, all the different media functions in New York. So I kind of sensed that he knows how important it is to be on the right side of that media.
Art, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be concentrating more on the Jets winning or the Packers with Jordan Love losing?
He's all about Aaron Rodgers. And I think he wants to get an MVP. I don't think the NFL title is his biggest quest. And until that changes, you know, I don't see them winning more than 9 or 10 games this year. I still think Buffalo is the cream of that division. I think Miami, with their running game, if they get these three running backs going in the right direction, they could be a surprise team. Now, the Jets are in there. They played real well last year. And Robert Saleh's done a good job of building this team. And it seems like Woody, since he came back from Ireland as the ambassador, Woody Johnson, has decided he's all in. I mean, obviously, to go out and spend the money he's spent to get where they are. Hey, I just, you know, for Jets fans, it's a long time between drinks, 1969 to 2023.
Well, and also it's a long time between drinks, and the Green Bay fans have celebrated with Favre and then, you know, 18 years there with Rodgers. Before that, it was Lynn Dickey and friends.
All right, let's switch subjects here. Something close to my heart. Vice President General Manager of the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, indicates that he wishes that they had more ability to steal bases and to stop other teams from stealing bases. Of course, this week, the Pittsburgh Pirates stole 12 bases against the Dodgers. There are teams out there that have stolen on a season 38 or 40, and the Dodgers won't steal that many all season long. But Friedman says, I just wish we had it. Well, Art, wasn't his job in the offseason to make sure with the new rules that they did have it?
Can I tell you something? We were discussing this off the air, guys. You know, if you look at the teams that are really doing well right now, they're running and they're young. You look
Arizona,
at the Orioles.
Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, Tampa, the Pirates. And these teams are built on speed. Now, we've talked about this. Okay, you take away the shift. All right, that's one thing. You make the bases a little bigger. But the key to me is this two tosses to first base, and then you can't even step off the rubber. Remember the old days, a pitcher could just step off the rubber and that would send the guy scurrying back to the bag. Yeah. You do that now and it's a ball or balk. And so, I mean, the question I'm having is, did these GMs really look into this rule as closely as what they should have? And I'm going to tell you, Andrew Friedman did not, because the Dodgers have speed in their system. They may need to look around their system. They may need to trade some people to get some speed, because this game, the game of baseball, has changed dramatically.
But isn't that even more of a reason that they should have found a way to sign Cody Bellinger? Because he had the speed. Right now, if you think about it, and this is insane too, they got Mookie Betts playing shortstop. He's going to get killed until Rojas comes back. So, I mean, they made more mistakes during this offseason.
Your best right fielder in baseball is playing shortstop.
Shortstop. So, and people are going to say, well, we grew up as a shortstop in the second base. This is the major leagues. You're going to get hit on a double play, and you're going to be out the season, and that's their speed. I mean, that bottom line is they got two superstar players, Mookie Betts and Freeman at first base. Outside of that, everybody's average. Altman can be a player. But can you imagine an outfield, Altman in left, Bellinger in center, and Mookie in right would be the best defensive outfield in baseball.
And it's still fairly young.
Yeah. Folks, you know, it's beyond belief. Mark, I know you're a Pirate fan, but you got to be laughing at the Dodgers right now.
Well, I'll tell you, if it was a movie, it'd be straight out of Hollywood, The Decline of the Dodgers. And you know what? Analytics has got the best of Andrew Friedman right now. You know, when you look at this team, and we talked about it, Fred and Artie, this team didn't do anything when they had the 20-game lead. They stood pat at the trading deadline. They didn't do anything in the offseason. They let guys go, and then they stood there and said, well, we don't need this guy. We don't need this guy. This guy don't want to stay. And you're absolutely right. They only got two guys. People are running on them like crazy. The Diamondbacks stole 12 bases on them in a series. The Cubs just finished up 7 games with them stealing 11. The Pirates have done 12. And the Pirates come back here in July for 4. Hey, so who knows, Mark, how many they're going to have?
Mark, there's another part of this that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. 6.1% of the players in Major League Baseball are Black. Now with the emphasis on speed again, could this be the way for Major League Baseball to open the doors to the Black athletes getting back in the major leagues because of the emphasis on speed? And I mean, let's be real here. That's something I think needs to happen. And I think it's been a great move. We rag on, you know, we're not big fans of Rob Manfred, but he may have stumbled onto something here, you know, with this new game of baseball. It reminds me of the way baseball was played, you know, under Billy Martin and the old go-go A's, you know, that Billy ball where you get a guy on, you bunt him over, hit a ground ball to the right side and score with, you know, less without having a real hit.
Not only that, Fred, and you know this, the Dodgers have always brought up them rookie of the years, and they've always kind of let them come through the season. They didn't do that with these guys when they lost all these guys. And the only guy that's really doing some damage here is Outman. But they've rushed all these other guys up because there's no depth no more, and people have been injured on that team.
And beyond that, they've wasted $13 million on Thor, who's soon to be pitching in the Japanese minor leagues. Folks, you can email us at sportsfred@ao.com, sportsfred@ao.com, and we'll come back with more on Sports Overnight America and Barron Sports Trivia right after.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current Employee Retention Credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. Later, Chris Caliza, his great book, Power Players, Sports, Politics, the American Presidency. It's everything you'd ever want to read about if you're politically oriented or sports oriented. We play Baron Sports Trivia on this show, and started by my cousins, Lisa and Andy. And let's test these guys. But before we test these guys, I got to test Art Source at 126 years of age. Now, medicinally, legally, of course, he takes something every night to do this show and to answer these questions. Art Source, what are you taking this evening?
Well, we got the Pro Focus going. We still love that Prevagen and Focus Factor. In fact, Focus Factor has actually come out with the new Pro Focus. But yeah, you know, on late night TV and radio, you know, I have to stay up and, you know, I need my beauty rest and I have to keep the noodle nice and fresh. So yes, I do take the nootropics and try to stay up on everything.
All right, let's get to it. Baron Sports Trivia, and we'll start with Mark Mancini, the World's Worst Sports Handicapper. PCL, Pacific Coast League, 1957, basically the last year, obviously, when the Angels and the yeah. Hollywood Stars played and the team in San Francisco. Okay, the San Francisco Seals in 1957 were the minor league team, minor league affiliate of what major league franchise? In 1957, we know the Angels were the Cubs, and we know the Hollywood Stars were the Pittsburgh Pirates, Mark's favorite team. San Francisco Seals in 1957, what was their major league club?
Philadelphia Athletics?
Philadelphia Athletics. Well, they weren't even, well, Art, he says the Philadelphia Athletics.
I'm going to go with Joe DiMaggio and the New York Yankees, since all the DiMaggio brothers seem to be prolific in the old Seal Stadium.
Now, they were, for a lot of time, the Yankee farm system, the Yankee affiliate. However,
but
they
not in 57.
Not in 57.
Red Sox?
The Red Sox. For the few years before that, they were the affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, San Francisco Seals. In
which is why Dominic played for the Red Sox.
All right.
What?
Well, how about Pawtucket? Wasn't Pawtucket, well, you'd think the Red Sox would go closer to Pawtucket.
And the Dodgers farm team right now, AAA, Oklahoma City. Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense?
They would have Fresno.
Doesn't that make sense? No, I guess not. All right, since we're talking minor league baseball, the voice of the minor league LA Angels might have been Art Source. Who might it have been?
Fred Haney?
Fred Haney? Manager?
Yeah. Oh, not Fred Haney. Who would it have been? Don Wells and, he did Channel 5 Sports, Gil Stratton.
Gil Stratton, you're saying, did the minor league LA Angels. So, Mark, you weren't born yet. Artie was. Do you have any answer? I'll give you a hint.
Stu Nahan.
He was also the Rams announcer.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Not Dick Enberg, really?
Oh, before Dick Enberg.
Oh, the Don Wells.
Before Don Wells.
Wow.
He came with the Rams from Cleveland.
Call me Croats now.
His son's name is Paraquat.
Oh, Kelly.
Paraquat Kelly. No.
Not Tom Kelly, the other Kelly. Bob Kelly. There you go.
Bob Kelly, to me, was the greatest of all of them. I mean,
you know, Fred, I've never ever had a chance to listen to him. Do they have old tapes of Bob Kelly anywhere?
Okay. Sports at 6 on KMPC here in Los Angeles, 710. He hosted. Jim Healy and Stu Nahan were his second guys, but it was basically Bob Kelly. I'd run home every day, you know, playing at the park, make sure I would listen to Bob Kelly. That's how good he was.
Fred, who were the Ram announcers in the 70s? It was Enberg and there was a couple other guys.
The little running back.
Yeah.
Dick Bass.
Name? Dick Bass. Dick Bass. The scooter. Yeah. The scooter, Dick Bass. Dick Bass,
yeah, he was scooter. Good. I like Dick Bass.
Dick Bass.
They also had Les Richter, I admit, and Danny Villanueva.
Les Richter, of course, the middle linebacker for many years for the Rams. Dick Bass had his own TV show on UHF Channel 22 here.
A long time ago.
Wow. Okay, Mark, you ready?
Yeah.
Yankees TV announcer in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, I believe. Famous for doing a lot of World Series games because the Yankees were always in the World Series. Phil Rizzuto, the shortstop. Wrong.
Yeah.
Mel Allen.
He wouldn't play shortstop.
Out of Alabama. What a great voice. And he did all his work in New York. Huh?
Think about this. Mel Allen from Alabama. You know what his real last name was? Any idea?
Yeah, it's a country. Jewish, huh?
It's a country.
Let me ask you guys. Did you remember?
Hang on.
Hold on. I want to hear this.
Art wants to hear this. You said a country. You're right. Now, what country would make sense for Mel Allen? His last name.
Germany?
Allentown?
Mel Israel. That was his real name.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's an amazing stat. Because that was not going to work in 1950.
In Alabama, no. And probably not even in New York. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you something real fast. Did you guys remember, and I wish I was around, I wasn't even born then, the 1960 World Series?
Yeah.
When Sean Hurt Mazeroski shot?
Yeah. By the way, very sad moment.
Yes.
Bill played second. Yeah. Bill Mazeroski played second base, and he's still alive. Shortstop Dick Groat passed away earlier this week. And,
I didn't know he was such a great basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
Duke All-American. Yeah. Duke All-American. Yeah. What a great act. How many guys can say that they play All-American in basketball and an All-Star many times playing Major League Baseball?
Only thing I can think of is Dave DeBuscher had a little cup of coffee with the White Sox.
Yeah.
But that's an amazing, Deion Sanders, the safety for Atlanta, Brian Jordan. He played in a couple sports.
But very few.
Yeah.
Very few. All right.
And Dick Groat, you know who Dick Groat's great-grandson is, right?
Who?
Brooks Koepka, the golfer.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yeah.
He's in the LIV, right?
Yeah.
All right, Art, this is the final Barron Sports Trivia for this hour. The lead announcer on the first year of Monday Night Football was?
Keith Jackson.
Yeah. Keith Jackson, you're
Holy
saying.
Holy Toledo.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
He's 100% positive it's Keith Jackson. Mark?
Howard Cosell.
No, not the lead announcer. Who's the lead announcer?
Play-by-play guy.
Yeah, he might be right. Keith Jackson.
Everybody thinks it's Gifford, but it wasn't.
No, I think it's Keith Jackson.
Okay, so he did it the first year. And then they moved him out back to his college life where he loved it, college games. And
with Frank
Gifford. So here's again, with me, you're going to get a true story. I've had two tickets in my life. Okay, two.
Driving a car.
And I got a ticket about 2 weeks before the first Monday Night Football game.
In Cleveland.
I had to go to traffic school that night. So I missed the first half of the game.
So help me, Hannah.
I missed the first half of the game. I folks may not care, but it bothered me a great deal just to this day.
I couldn't believe the night that Joe Willie had that night was unbelievable, man.
Yeah, the cop
was throwing that ball.
Exactly.
And now we have Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. And later in the season, Saturday Night Football. Soon we'll have football 7 nights.
Fred, you know what's really funny is remember how the Rams always would black out the games in L.A.?
Yes.
My dad and I would literally drive to San Diego. We bought a huge satellite dish for his restaurant, The Village Inn, and we'd drive to Santa Barbara. Anything we could do to go to watch a Monday Night Football game. And it was like so funny because, you know, how are you going to fill the Coliseum in those days? It was 90,000 seats. I mean,
okay.
And
so
not only that, that was where the division was: New Orleans, Atlanta, San Francisco, and the Rams.
The West.
A lot of people
with Atlanta and New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay. How did they do that?
Another true story. So I'm doing KBC radio in the late 80s, and I said on the air, this is when they were blacking out the games if they weren't totally sold out 3 days in advance, and or 2 days in advance, whatever, 48 or 72 hours. And the Raiders didn't like what I said, because I said, I don't think the peristyle seats should count. The 17,000 peristyle seats, folks, you ever been to LA Memorial Coliseum? Yeah. You can't see the game much from the peristyle
seats. You're 50 yards away from the field.
But I said, I don't think those should count. So he had people call me. He had an exterminator call me. It's Al Davis. And he says, I heard you wanted to be exterminated. So I went to George Green, the general manager at KBC. True story, I swear. Next 2 weeks, the police followed me to and from work at KBC because of Al Davis. God be my witness. All right, we'll come back and
Al Lucasell too.
Al Lucasell, he was part of it.
I used to take Al Lucasell back to the hotel after the games because I worked on the southern sidelines.
Power players later on this show. Power players, sports, politics, the American presidency. Chris Caliza, he'll be up next, and the guys will come back. All straight away on Sports Overnight.
Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for Sports Stuff You Definitely Could Not Do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Quote Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Zero emissions goals are driving automakers and consumers to accelerate the shift to electric vehicles, EV. But roadblocks still exist to allow for their transition. Recent data from the IBM Institute for Business Value found that 50% of surveyed customers are considering getting an EV in the next 3 years. However, only 13% of industry executives anticipate that their countries will be ready to support the EV fleet by 2030. Key factors such as public charge point availability, reliability, EV and energy costs, and network connectivity are impacting EV adoption. Moreover, none of the executives surveyed believed that standard cars will be sold after 2040. Jonathan Wright, Global Managing Partner, IBM Consulting.
Our survey shows that significant transition is going to happen by 2040, but it will require a sustainable power grid that can meet and exceed the expected demands. It'll take an ecosystem of companies across industries, governments, and other stakeholders for EV to really take hold. So the time for action is absolutely now.
To learn more, visit ibm.com/sustainable-mobility. Sponsored by IBM.
This report is sponsored by Boehringer Ingelheim.
I'm Bernie Williams, and I lost my dad to idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, one of the most common forms of interstitial lung disease, an umbrella term for over 200 rare conditions that can cause scarring of the lungs and may make it difficult to breathe. My dad was my hero. He was the one to introduce me to music, and it is something that helps me feel connected to him even today. Music was always something that helped me cope as a caregiver. Writing a song to honor my father and his own journey with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis was a way to put my feelings down on paper, and I know so many people can relate. Check out Tuning to Lung Health to hear more about what living with interstitial lung disease really means and the important role that music can play in helping to cope with this disease. You will find a series of vocal and breathing exercises, playlists, and some of my favorite tunes, and personal stories from people who have been affected by interstitial lung disease. Visit TuneIntoLungHealth.com to learn more.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Hey, it's Sports Overnight America, everybody. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. sportsfred@aol.com. As you know, I've been involved in politics. My mom was very political, 6 or 7 years of age. My mom had the John F. Kennedy thing on her lawn, and so I knew all about politics at a very young age. Yeah, I leaned left, but there's a book out now, Power Players, Sports, Politics, and the American Presidency, and we've got the author, Chris Caliza, now with us. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed it, because again, it's a combination of sports and politics. But my first question, do you ever talk to Lorne Greene of Saturday Night Live and ask him, how important Gerald Ford was to the beginning of a show that's now lasted Lorne almost Michaels. 50 years. Lorne Michaels for a show that's now lasted like 50 years.
I do think that Chevy Chase's impersonation of Gerald Ford went a very long way in establishing
Liberty.
Sort of the public perception of Gerald Ford. What's amazing about it is it doesn't fit at all the reality. Ford was by far the best athlete to ever be president. He was played offensive line at the University of Michigan. He was an All-American. He had offers to go pro. But all anybody remembers is Chevy Chase picking up the phone that was the wrong phone. And to the extent they remember anything else, they remember Bob Hope's jokes about Gerald Ford that, you know, there was all you needed to do to find Jerry Ford on the golf course was to follow the ambulance. So, yes, I mean, there's no question that golf – Gerald Ford was not a great golfer despite being a really good athlete. And there's no question that impacted how he's perceived.
Hey, Chris, I actually got to play I got to be Jackie Gleason's caddy at some of the old Bob Hope tournaments. And believe me when I tell you, he hit it right to right. It's the truth. You did not want to line the fairway because that ball could be coming hot right at you.
I mean, he did hit, like, you know, it's a little bit of a parody, right? But he did hit a number of people. Now, I always am hesitant because as a not very good golfer, if I was playing with galleries, I would worry I would be hitting people too. So I don't want to like judge him too harshly, but yes, exactly. He did hit a bunch of people.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you a question about Gerald Ford. There's something in here. I thought I knew a lot about him because I'm very into the political game work. I did not know that story at the University of Michigan with Ward Willis, African-American.
Who yes, roomed Willis with Ward,
him.
Yep.
Willis
yep.
Ward, and yep. He roomed with him, and Georgia Tech came and they refused to play the black kid. And the black kid said, that's okay, just go out and play. And, you know, Gerald Ford was on his side 100%. I never heard that before. I'm happy it was in your book. And maybe it changes some people's opinion of it.
I know. I do. One of the things that I was struck by in doing the Ford chapter was how misunderstood the guy is. I think so many people's perception of Gerald Ford is as this sort of bungling, clumsy, shouldn't have pardoned Nixon, one-termer. And like the reality of the situation is there's a lot to admire in Gerald Ford's backstory, honestly, like whether it's athletic, you know, he's an elite athlete in football, or to your point about Willis Ward. I mean, this is a guy who is taking sort of civil rights stances at a time when it was not particularly popular. As you said, the athletic director at the University of Michigan said Willis Ward couldn't play. He sort of agreed with the Georgia Tech athletic director so that the game could go on. And you know, Ford was among the people to say, we should boycott this. We shouldn't play. Willis Ward said, just play. It doesn't matter. Now, later in his life, he actually ran for office, which I didn't know about. I knew this story, but I didn't know he had run for office. But later in his life, I think he regretted a little bit sort of the role he had to play there and that maybe he should have been said, no, don't play because of this. But yeah, I just think Jerry Ford is pretty misunderstood by the public.
Well, you know, and Chris, one of the things that I read about was that he got along with both sides of the aisle. He was one of those old style guys that said, hey, let's come up with a compromise. Let's get together. Let's hash it out and let's make it work for the people. And I mean, if I look at our government right now, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, there's got to be some sort of a coming together. This hatred and vitriol has got to end because as a nation, it's divided us. You know, and I mean, Fred and I joke and laugh. Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit to the right. He's left. But I respect other people's opinions. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean I have to agree with you. But I just think that at a certain point in time, your job as a congressman or a senator is to do the job for the people who put you there. And that's what it takes. And sometimes you have to listen and not talk.
Yeah, I agree. And Jerry Ford was good at that, honestly. And I do think sports had something to do with it because I think he understood in a way that maybe some of our current politicians don't, that being on a team requires sometimes subsuming your own ego, right? Like trying to find a solution, a way to win that may not be exactly what you want, but is sort of the best way to do it. One thing fascinating about Ford, I thought, was he really downplayed his athletic accomplishments in his political life. He didn't talk very much about how good an athlete he was. He sought to sort of make sure people didn't really know it. And at least part of that is because he was worried about being labeled a dumb jock. Lyndon Johnson used to joke that Jerry Ford played too many games with his helmet off.
With the leather helmet. You know,
yeah, exactly. And so I think he sort of struggled under that too. I think it's why, again, it's why Ford was so misunderstood, is that people think of him as bungling, but this is a guy who was like a very good athlete. And I would say a very admirable person overall.
Oh, hell yes. Yes.
And does not have that rap in the sort of common public imagination.
Yeah. The book of power players, sports, politics, the American presidency. Chris Caliz is now with us. So I have to ask you this. I don't know if you counted the rounds, but as president, who played more rounds of golf? Clinton, W, or Trump? I know who cost us the most money.
I think W played the fastest rounds of golf.
That's definitely true on the fastest was George W. I think he got that from his dad because his dad played real fast too. I think Trump played the most out of those three. You know, what was hard with Trump was he would go to his clubs every weekend, but they would never say if he was playing golf or not. You know, so he'd be at a golf club. He'd be gone for between 4 and 6 hours, sort of the length of time to play a round of golf. But they would never sort of confirm that he was playing. I will say this. Dwight Eisenhower probably played 5 times as much golf as Donald Trump did. I mean, Eisenhower, this is obviously a different time. It's the 50s. The media environment is not what it is today or even close to it. But Eisenhower would take from August to October effectively off. I mean, he'd move to Colorado. He'd work a little bit in the mornings, and then he'd go play 36 holes of golf every single day. So he played by far the most. But I think in the modern era, it's probably Trump, Obama, Clinton, Bush. I think. Remember that. Bush stopped playing golf after September 11th. He only really played for about a year of his presidency, a little less. So he didn't actually play that much. His dad played a little bit more and was probably a little bit better too at it. His dad's sort of a very good overall athlete. But
first
no
baseman
one,
at Yale, right?
First baseman at Yale. And fun fact, when he was a senior, he met Babe Ruth 3 weeks before Babe Ruth died. So Babe Ruth was at Yale to give his memoir, his memoirs to Yale. And Bush was the captain of the team and sort of accepted the memoir, you know, in a formal way. If you type into Google George Herbert Walker Bush and Babe Ruth, there's a picture of an ailing Babe Ruth and George Herbert Walker Bush, and Ruth dies like less than a month later.
Mark, do you have any thoughts to Chris power players?
Well, Chris, more or less, from a standpoint of the American people, what do you think a president, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, would need to bring it to the table to cap the votes of the American people? Because it looks like these guys that are getting elected year in and year out are just trying to get elected before they're even elected, and they make promises that they can't keep. So what would gravitate the American public to a president these days, and what would the president have to bring to the table, you think?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I think part of the issue now is that both sides are very dug in on the sort of, you know, they're speaking to their base of voters. Meanwhile, you have sort of the middle 30-ish% who don't identify with either party, and I think largely feel lost in the whole process.
You think it's time for a three-party system?
Well, you know, so I wonder about it. I think that a lot of people in theory support a third party. They like the idea of a third party. I think the issue that you run into is a third party that, let's say a third party that I want and what they would be organized around might be different than a third party that you want and what they would be organized around. And that's always the rub, is it's harder to figure out what that party would actually look like in reality.
Maybe fiscal reality and not a $31 trillion deficit. And that's both sides I'm blaming now.
Yep. Yeah, no. I think there's no question that independents have grown as a percentage of the overall electorate. I mean, it's not even close. They're the fastest growing by a lot. The issue, again, though, is who would the candidate be? Like, you could have issues. I agree with you on the fiscal sort of responsibility thing. I think that would align a lot of people who say, like, look, we're spending money we don't have. At some point, this has to end.
Yeah, the grandkids and the great-grandkids are going to, I mean, wow.
But the issue is, like, who is the candidate? Is it Joe Manchin of West Virginia? Is it Larry Hogan of Maryland? Is it somebody we've never heard of, you know? I mean, that to me is the issue, is, like, can you find a candidate who, for the bulk of people who identify as independents, it speaks to them and they say, yeah, I can get behind this guy, because a lot, or woman, because a lot of times I think, you can even come up with some policy ideas that that could unite people, but it has to be a person. People vote for a person. They don't usually vote for policy ideas. So you got to get a person that sort of lines
up. So it would almost have to be like maybe a movie star or someone who
moves
the needle. There you go. Yeah. Well, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat most of his life, became a Republican. And, you know, I still watch a lot of his tapes on the old Tonight Show. And I mean, the guy came from a lot of different angles, but he really wanted less federal government. He wanted the states to have the say in basically doing what they needed to do.
And Florida's and, doing it.
Oh, boy, are they ever.
Power Players, the book. Sports, Politics, the American Presidency. Chris Galiz is with us. Hatchet Books published it. Major bookstores everywhere. Chris, I got to ask you something. I did not know this, that Bill Clinton, when he was president, ran in the streets around the office. Now, with all the guns and every day you hear about six more people dying because somebody
had some D.C.
Would they have allowed him to do that 30 years later?
No, and in fact, they didn't allow Bush to do it. But Bush was a runner, too, coming into office and not that far after Clinton, obviously. And they did not allow him to do it. Eventually, they built a track. Donors built a track on the White House grounds that Bush could run around. But he hated it because he hated just running around a track. He wanted to. He was used to being able, as governor of Texas, to sort of run out in public. So, no, I don't think there's any way that they would allow that. Now, I in writing the book, I'll admit, I mean, I was alive then, but I was surprised even that they let Clinton do that, because even with a sort of phalanx of Secret Service officials and officers, I'm not sure that that would play now. You know, one thing about Clinton I loved about running is it's
would
so telling.
Would you call
about
that
him.
Running really, Chris?
Yeah, moving faster than walking. When he was the governor of Arkansas, he would run, and every time he ran, he would end up at the same Little Rock McDonald's.
That's what so I was going to say.
So much so that they got a plaque to commemorate the fact that that's where he would end up after his runs, which I think is just totally fascinating. It's also, by the way, we started talking about Saturday Night Live, but there's the famous Phil Hartman skit where he's playing Bill Clinton. He walks around and eats everybody's food. I think
very
it's,
Bill Murray like.
Very, very.
Hey, Chris, real fast, I know we're probably up against it, but how about the women in some of these presidents' lives that we got to know and we respected to a certain extent in Barbara Bush, Laura Bush, maybe Michelle Obama? What's your thought on those that were probably some leaders in their own way behind the men?
Yes. Well, the one that I'm always drawn to most is the Bush family. So George Herbert Walker Bush's mom, so George W. Bush's grandmother, is extremely into sports and extremely into competition, but also into sportsmanship. So she is a really good tennis player. When he is young, she and young George Herbert Walker Bush play together a lot. And I think she instills in him this idea, it's sort of the we over the me, the team over the individual, that he carries with him, I think, not only through his presidency, but also in his kids and in his son who goes on to be president. So, and obviously, I think we know Barbara Bush is a huge influence, not just in George Herbert Walker Bush's life, but in George W. Bush's life. And again, for the same kind of thing, that sort of gentlemanly competition, sportsmanship. And I think that it's not, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say without those women in their lives and without the sports those women played, they would have a very different experience and would have been very different presidents.
The book Power Players, Sports, Politics, the American Presidency. We've had Chris Galiz on. Chris, thank you very much. I used to watch you all the time on CNN. And as I opened the show talking about this book, if you're into sports, you ought to buy it. If you're into politics, you should buy it. And if you're into sports and politics, you definitely should buy it. Chris, thanks for appearing.
Thank you, gentlemen. Wow. Have a great day.
Great guy.
That was awesome. Have a
great
weekend.
Chris Galiz, Power Players, Sports, Politics, the American Presidency. Back with more.
Hey, Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'd like to thank Chris Kalizita for making an appearance on this show. Folks, it's a book you have to pick up, Power Players, Sports, Politics, and the American Presidency. In our last few minutes this hour, Arch, you mentioned his name before, Deion Sanders. 30, 40, or 50 kids who play football in Colorado have put their names in the transfer portal. What's going on with Deion Sanders?
He got. I don't know. The one kid, the one wide receiver, had 160 yards and two touchdowns and had a big spring game in Boulder, and then he puts himself in the transfer portal. Maybe Deion wants to have his own guys. I mean, he did bring his son, who's a heck of a quarterback, from Jackson State up to Boulder. But that's a real interesting question, Fred, because, I mean, I know he's probably got a game plan, but you would think that you'd want to have some guys, some depth, because, I mean, you got to go back into the portal now and come up with 30 guys. That can't be real easy this late, you know, as you get building up for the season.
Mark Mancini, I think it's a power play, and I think it's losing so far. Mark, what do you think?
Well, UCLA and USC will be out of that conference after this year. I like Deion. I've always liked Deion. I think he's just putting his foot on the program and trying to figure out what he wants to do with it. But you know who he reminds me of, guys, is Jerry Glanville, man, minus the guitars, man.
Well, he played for Jerry Glanville.
Yeah, and he'll come in there, and it might be, you know, everybody might be looking at Deion.
Think
Sanders,
he'll leave some tickets for Elvis?
He's gonna get the Buffaloes. I mean, what other better way would UCLA and USC to be out of there? Get Colorado on the map.
Pac-12, you know, that's the one good move I think the Pac-12 made under Kliavakov, you know, bringing him in. You know, and I got to be honest with you, I also think we're not out of the woods quite yet as Pac-12 fans because no. I think Oregon and Washington are really leaning toward joining, you know, either the Big 12 and or the Big 10 again. How do you call them the Big 10 when there's 16 teams there?
Copyrighted, I guess. Okay. No, we've mentioned this many times, and I was one of these players that I was a pretty good athlete, and Art, of course, made the NFL. So he definitely was a very good athlete. But I had to be treated a certain way. The coach screamed at me. I played horribly. But coach was reasonable with me. I played as hard as I could. There were different psychological things in everybody's head. And Dion might be, you know, think he's all powerful, but he's going to distinguish between player A and player B, doesn't he, Art? 30 seconds.
Yes, he does. And that's really important. You have to be able to read your athletes. Some guys like a pat on the back. Other guys like to be motivated with fear. You know, and that's part of being a great football coach. You know, you don't treat everybody the same. You don't treat a superstar quarterback like your backup, you know, punter. It's a completely different world, but you treat them fair. And part of that is getting to know your team, know your players, and be able to get the most out of your guys. And that's what great coaches do, Fred.
All right, for Mario, for Art, for Mark, I'm Fred. We'll see you around the corner on Sports Overnight America.